studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, thank you for joining us here today at Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. We're very thankful to bring this radio broadcast to you each and every week. And this week, we're going to look at a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul is really outlining there the instructions for this young pastor to persevere, to continue in his doctrine and protection of his life, because what is at stake is the salvation of souls. So we're going to look at this beautiful passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4 this week. But let me start today by outlining for you something that happened in Israel's history, one of the more tragic figures in Israel's history. His name was King Amaziah. In 2 Chronicles chapter 25, there's this very fascinating description of his life. It says that Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. That's a very disheartening description of his life. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He had an outward obedience, so he was not like some of the former kings who walked in sin and walked in rebellion. But what made this king different was that when it came to the outward acts of Israel's religion, he obeyed. But there's a but there. Not with a loyal heart. It was not on the inside. In the very next breath, it could say he did all of these things, all these outward acts, without a loyal heart. His heart was far from the Lord. Now, the tragic end of King Amaziah is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, where it says, after the time that Amaziah turned away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish, and they sent after him to Lachish and killed him there. He turned away from the Lord. His unloyal heart at some point had caught up with him, and he walked right away from following him. This sort of departure from the truth, from the faith, is not something that was isolated in Israel's history or even in the Bible. It has always been one of the great realities that the Bible has presented to us. Maybe some of you listening today have brothers or sisters who've abandoned the faith. Some of you may have children who right now have gone away from what they've been taught and what they've been raised with in terms of the substance of the faith and their commitment to Jesus Christ. And such a defection is about as painful a reality as there can be. The problem, of course, is much more extensive and much more common than all of us really are recognized or really willing to admit. But in terms of what we call apostasy, it has always been a problem in the community of faith. It has always been a problem in the community of faith. It continues to be one, and it will continue to be one until Christ comes again. And so this week, as we look through Paul's instructions to Timothy for Christian ministry, what Paul is doing here is he's writing this in such a way that not only Timothy would understand his calling and give himself to that calling, but that the whole body of Christ, even the local church where he was pastoring in Ephesus, would come to a greater understanding of just what is at stake, just how serious Christian ministry is, and that we all together would desire to see in the man that God has chosen to serve you in your local church and will call to serve you, that these things that are outlined here in this Bible passage would be the things that he gives himself to for the salvation of your very souls. That much is at stake. Your very salvation. Your children's salvation. If you look down at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, you have this very jolting verse. It's something as a pastor I constantly read over and over. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Do you hear that? There's this direct correlation to the pastor taking heed to his life and to his doctrine. Continuing in them. For what end? Your salvation. God has set it up this way. We don't often think of ministry this way. That's why it's so important that you pray for your pastor. For if he fails in his life, in the purity of his life, or in his doctrine, it's going to have a direct effect upon you. And so we say then that much is at stake. Heaven or hell, bliss or torment, joy or peace, and agony and misery. All those things are contrasted because ministry to you is about salvation. Our passions and desires to keep this protected, to keep the ministry of the gospel and the pulpit pure, should be number one on our list. We know this to be true, of course. You enter a man into the ministry who's not taking heed to his life, to guard it, to keep it free from error and impurity, and has no love for the Word of God, no diligence to preach the gospel, no excitement for the truth of the Word of God. What's going to happen to the people? Well, it's pretty clear what's going to happen to the people. You're going to produce the same thing in them. Charles Spurgeon was absolutely right in warning young ministers, if you have no excitement and love for what you're preaching to your people, and they don't see that love in you and excitement, don't expect love for the word to be found in your people. Don't expect those things in your people. Again, a congregation really does take on the personality and the traits of her pastor. If I look at a church full of people who want to be entertained, who have no love for the Word of God, I know right where the problem lies. The man standing behind the pulpit, if there is even a pulpit anymore. And as I read this passage, and this past week, as I meditated on this, one thing came to my mind. We can't afford to take Christian ministry lightly. If there's anything that you must guard and protect and ensure with all your might that these things take place, it is that your minister in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, is continually being nourished in the words of faith and in the good doctrine of the gospel. This is so utterly important that detailed instructions are given by Paul to this young pastor Timothy to continue in these things, guarding his life and his doctrine, and the end product will be the very salvation of his soul and the Ephesian souls, my soul and your souls. So Paul gives these specific instructions to Timothy. It's very interesting what he does. There's something that Timothy has to first understand about Christian ministry. There's something that we first must understand about Christian ministry. And so what happens here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is that Paul is sort of giving him a deep motivation for continuing in these things. You'll remember in Philippians, Paul had said that he would gladly pour out his life and as a drink offering for the sacrifice and the service of their faith. He would gladly die for them. They were his crown and they were his joy. These were the souls he was laboring for. I was deeply reminded of this very thing this past week in something that happened in Turkey. You'll never hear about this in the news, but Christianity is getting a foothold in the country, and two Christian pastors were there this past week leading a Bible study, and 10 men put on guns and they grabbed knives. And during the Bible study, they took these pastors captive and they tied their hands and their feet to chairs. And for 2 hours, they tortured them. The details of the torture are very gruesome, so much so that I can't even describe this over the air. It's unbelievably gory. This is a very sad thing. And these men had such a love for the gospel and such a love for these souls in Turkey who were just coming to understand the truths of the gospel that they were willing to risk their lives to see souls saved. And it did cost them their lives. Now, the reason that I raise this is simply to say that the minister, out of love for souls and the truth, is giving himself for this. But we in America need a fresh reorienting as to what is really happening behind gospel labors. This story that happened in Turkey this past week is so unbelievable to us because we live in a Disneyland. All of us wanting our resorts, wanting our freedom to be left alone, and what have we done to the church? Well, it's clear this Disneyland mentality has filled the church. My point is, we've lost all sense that we are doing ministry in the midst of a war for souls. That war came to a vicious head in Turkey this past week, and we have to recognize it. The reason that Satan has chosen to leave the American church not persecuted, you ever wondered why? Is simply put, because she's fat, she's lazy, she's worst of all, tolerant. He has filled the church with lies that God loves everybody, that truth is relative, that he has built a kingdom, of course, Satan has under his sway, and that's even infiltrating the church with false messages that are afraid to offend, that are afraid to take a stand for the truth. And as we get fatter off the land here in America, isn't it interesting that the message of prosperity in the church grows to great extents? As we all enjoy our resorts, we don't want to hear that anything is wrong. We're in denial that in the church there is a sweeping apostasy that is carrying away people right into hell. All because we have pastors and we have people in the pews totally apathetic to the truth and are willing to say, come on, let's all hold hands and get along regardless of doctrine, regardless of what we believe, and regardless of practice. And what Paul is saying to us today is there has to be something we're willing to hear. Christian ministry is being done on the battlefield. And there is an intense spiritual warfare for souls taking place, and there are casualties all around us. And I want to leave you with exactly what we're going to work through this week. Listen to Paul's warning to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, we read these very sobering words. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Paul is telling Timothy, you have to understand there's this great reality going on behind the scenes, and the Spirit is telling you something. We're going to look at this week. In these last days in which we live, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And Paul's whole answer is, Timothy, if you want to be a good minister of the gospel, give yourself, nourish yourself in the words of faith and the good doctrine. And in doing that, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's how important the Christian ministry is. That's how important that we nourish people on the one message that is able to save their souls, Christ and Him crucified. And when people begin to understand just what is at stake, salvation of souls, I believe that we will see a great desire in ministers again to really preach the word in season and out of season, convincing, rebuking, and exhorting with all long suffering and patience, and showing people that the only way, may I stress that, can't stress that any stronger, the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We invite you this Sunday to join us for worship at the Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. LindenURC.com is the website, 360-318-0429. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.